First Peter chapter number 5, if you will just follow along with me just a few verses tonight. Starting in verse number 6, very familiar portion of Scripture, the Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you and I thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be able to stand behind your desk tonight. Lord, I pray that tonight, that Lord, that you would bless my church, Lord, the church that you've given me the privilege to pastor. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them tonight in my absence. Lord, I pray, God, you strengthen and touch them. But Lord, as we gather tonight, Lord, as your people, Lord, I do thank you, Lord, for this word, this faithful man, and Lord, his wife. Lord, I pray that tonight that you'd bless, and God, for the people that are here. Lord, I pray that all of us, we come tonight not to be able to see one another, but Lord, we come tonight to be able to see you. So, Father, I pray that from behind this pulpit, God, that you'd empty me of myself. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd fill and touch me, God, in a way that, Lord, when we walk away tonight, that only you and you alone will get honor and glory for all that's said and done. Now, Lord, it is my desire that, Lord, if somebody be here this lost, that tonight somehow, by the use of your God, of your word, that, Lord, that you would use that, Lord, to be able to touch and speak to them, where tonight would be the night of salvation. They'd be able to leave out of here knowing that their eternity is changed forevermore because of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, for those that are saved, Lord, it might just need help. Lord, I pray that tonight that we'd look unto you. Now, Lord, I love you, and I ask you to help me. Lord, use me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, in verse number 10, without any question, probably my favorite word in this whole text is found there. And it's the word settle. I don't know about you, but in my life, I like for things to be settled. I like for my home to be settled. I like for my marriage to be settled. I like for my finances to be settled. I like, even as my church, my absence tonight, I like it when the ministry is settled. I like to stand to be able to say that things are settled in my life. I don't know about you, but there's many of us that we feel that way because there's almost a peace, almost like we are in control, if you will. And not everybody has that issue, but I do. I have that issue sometimes that I like to have things in control. And I even believe that discipline and doing things like that does honor the Lord. And we ought to be thankful. And I say that because there are some things that the Lord has settled that I'm thankful for. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I'm glad tonight that I have a King James Bible that it's settled, that no matter what the government says and anybody else says or how people try to change it or water it down, I'm thankful tonight to be able to know without a doubt that the Word of God is settled. Because when a preacher can't tell me what I need to know, and as much as I love my wife, when she can't tell me what I need to know, I'm glad that God has given me His precious Word, that I know when all things pass away, that I have something that can help me when I need it the most. The Bible also says in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." I'm glad to be able to know that not only the Word of God is something that's settled, but I'm thankful tonight that my salvation is settled. Amen. I'm glad to know that without a doubt that I'm saved by the grace of God. And it makes no difference what anybody ever tries to tell us. It makes no difference what other people might believe in other types of religions and churches, that I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, that His blood is sufficient, and the day that I stand before God, that when He looks at me, He will not see Jason Holly. I praise the Lord tonight that I know that He'll see the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that my salvation is settled. I praise God for that. But as much as that word is probably one of my most favorite words, especially in this text, there's a word that's found in that same verse that don't quite bring me as much joy. And the word that you find there is after. After. See, I want the life that is established and strengthened and settled. I want that life that everything's all right, where I'm strong and I've got confidence and I can face the next day. And when I get up in the morning, that I know that everything's going to be all right. I'm thankful the fact to be able to know that I'm on solid rock, that I know that I'm saved, but my marriage is strong and established, it's strengthened and it's settled. But see, the Bible teaches us that that's never going to come to pass until we go through the things that God wants us to go through. And the word that He uses there is the word after. And see, I like for everything to be ironed out. I like for everything to be paid just right. I like for things not to have wrinkles in it. Can I get an amen right there? I like for everything to be a life of ease sometimes. But see, God says, before I ever bring you to the place that I need to bring you, and before I ever make your marriage what it needs to be, and before your ministry can ever be what it needs to be, and before your life can ever bring me the glory that it needs to bring me, you and I are going to have to suffer some things. And I'm telling you, child of God, I don't know where you are, I don't know what you've been through, and I don't know what your family might be going through tonight. And it's so easy sometimes to dive in like Superman and to be able to put the cape on and try to save somebody from a devastation or a disappointment or a discouragement. Hey, but I want you to know that there's a God in heaven, that He knows everything that He's doing, that He makes no mistakes. He's never turned a deaf ear and He's never turned away. I'm thankful tonight that the Word of God says that He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. I praise the Lord that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm glad tonight to know that God is on my side, but we're never going to get to where God's trying to take us until we suffer some things. After a while. Some of you know missionaries and great preachers. I know that you're well versed and taught in this church. And there's a missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor. He's a great missionary. And there was a young man, kind of like I would be to your pastor, that went and sat down with him. And he began to listen to the things that he was saying, because as he began to move on to the mission field, he wanted to have some words of wisdom. And I don't know if you've ever had a papaw or a meemaw or a papaw or whatever you would call it, or even a saint of God in the church. You sit down with them sometimes and you want to hear the words that come off their lips. You want to know how they made it, how their successful marriage has been, and how their ministry has been, and how their life has been the way that it has. You want to know the secret, if you will, to be able to get there. And as that young man sat across the table, as they begin to have a cup of tea, Hudson Taylor, in the middle of nothing, he began to sit there and he let the young man talk. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of it, Hudson Taylor reached up and he slapped that table, and everything on that table began to shake. And of course, it startled that young man. And he looked at that young man and he said, I want you to know something, son, that when you begin to do a work for God, that the trials of life are going to come like blows. And only the things that are on the inside of you is what's going to be seen. And I want to ask you tonight, do you know the grace of God? Have you experienced the grace of God? Have you ever got to a place? Because the same way that Hudson Taylor had to teach him that lesson, it's the same way that God has to teach us that lesson. And when we go out, we begin to serve the Lord, and we begin to marry, and we begin to be able to do things for God. You know as well as I do that there's going to be battles that's going to come. There's going to be storms that's going to come. There's going to be issues that's going to come. But the only way for us to ever become what God wants us to become is to face the things that God wants us to face. I want to think about this thought tonight about being unsettled. About being unsettled. About how to find that place of being settled when everything seems to be unsettled. I want to give you first tonight a principle. If you're business of taking notes, you can write this down. That God always settles after He unsettles. That's the principle. God always settles after he unsettles. And by the way, that's not just my knowledge and my wisdom and my expertise. That's not my experience. That is the Word of God. Because he says, after you suffered a while. See, there's going to be some things that we're going to face, that we're going to go through, that we're going to say, God, are you in this? And we need to be reminded not by some kind of just smooth-talking preacher or some other person that we love or we like, that everything's going to be all right. What you and I need is the Word of God. And let me tell you what the Bible says. He says, after you have suffered a while, that he might make you perfect and strengthen you and settle you and establish you. And I'm thankful tonight to be able to know that when the trials come and when life comes and when the government changes and the world changes, that there's a God in heaven that knows exactly what's going on, and he will settle us, but he's never going to settle us until he unsettles our life. If you turn back just a few chapters in verse number 1 of chapter 1, I want you to notice the Bible says that it's Peter. Notice who he's speaking to. Strangers. Strangers. Wait a minute. This is not just strangers to the Lord. These are people that know God. Notice the next word, scattered. See, I like it when everything's in order. I like it when everything is in place. I like it when everything fits. But I don't like it when my life begins to be scattered. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? And here he is. He's talking to these folks, and they're being persecuted. And as they're being persecuted, they're scattered abroad. And maybe it's easy to be able to say it this way. They're in an unfamiliar situation. Why? Because they begin to be unsettled. I get that way in my marriage, my home, and my ministry, and my life. I say, God, I've been serving you for a long time, but I don't know how to fix this. And Lord, I've been married for a number of years, but I don't know how to fix this. What God is doing is he's scattering me, and he's putting me in an unfamiliar situation. What does he say to him? Verse number 7 of chapter number 5. You can turn back, notice the words, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What are you saying, Brother Jason? What I'm trying to tell you is that when you get to a place in your life where things seem to be unusual and they seem to be overwhelming and they seem to be something that's not familiar, that you got to trust in the Lord. And as the Bible says in verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, why? For he careth for you. But is not this the principle that God has all through the Bible? Think about Noah for a moment. I mean, listen, had a job, life was great, everything was wonderful. You know the story about Noah. Our children hear about it. He was a good man, and all of a sudden in the midst of it, God comes to him and begins to unsettle, and he says, guess what? There's about to be a flood. There's going to be rain. You know what Noah said? What's rain? Do you know how uneasy that must have made him feel to you and I? We understand what rain is, but Noah said, there's no such thing as rain. But what did he do? He done exactly what God told him to do. And then after he had suffered a while, everyone else that did not listen, they suffered the consequences. But yet it was Noah that not only his family was blessed, but every single one of us are blessed tonight. Why? Because of the faithfulness of Noah in the middle of being unsettled. You go a little further in the Word of God. What about Joseph? You know the story. Here he is. He's got a coat of many colors. He's loved, if you will. Matter of fact, he's already told that he's going to be able to have a position. Everything is wonderful. In the midst of that, all of a sudden he finds himself in the pit. Looking up, not looking down, looking up to the very people that he was supposed to be leading, that's supposed to love him. He stripped of his coat of many colors, the very thing that gave him identity. Are you understanding that tonight? Have you ever had something in your life that you had confidence because of that thing that was in your life? Sometimes we struggle with a mom or a dad that has abandoned us because we don't know our identity. To us, it makes us dysfunctional. And that's exactly what it done. That's exactly what it done to that young man. And the Bible says that after a while, what's a while, Brother Jason? After he was in the pit, after he was in Potiphar's house, after he was in prison, after he was forgotten, and God unsettled him, and then God settled him down after that. You go a little bit further in the Word of God. You hear about David, anointed to be king. Oh, listen, God took a shepherd boy. Make something out of him. By the way, I'm glad that God still does something in our life. Can I get an amen? And here he is. He comes out just to be able to bring some food, to bring some lunch, being obedient to what he was supposed to do. See, sometimes we think we get in a mess because we get out of the will of God. You can be in the will of God and you can get in a mess. And the Bible says that David goes out, and as he approaches out to that giant, that Philistine, that nobody else would, he looks at him and he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" And as he began to do that, God began to give him favor. Man, everything was wonderful in his life. And then all of a sudden, the very man that he was serving is now coming against him. Why? Because God had to unsettle him. And then he finds himself in a cave, not trusting a thing. You study your Bible, you know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not telling you anything new. You've read the story about this young man, how he had somebody that he loved walked away, how he had a best friend that he had to walk away. I mean, literally, he went back to the Philistines and acted crazy because he was so unsettled. That's what the Bible says. But after the unsettling, God settled him. Maybe you could take a journey one night with me. As an angel goes to a young lady. Her name is Mary. She's a virgin. She's pure. Lived her life for the very moment that she's about to have to enjoy to be married to a man that she loves. And that angel says these words, "You're about to have child." Now I know what we're thinking, man, what an honor. What an honor to be able to have, to be able to birth the Son of God. Can I get an amen? I mean, what an honor. But do you know now all of a sudden how her character was going to be in question? How she had to go in hiding? Wait a minute, does that seem to be fair? Sometimes we serve the Lord and we say, "God, this ain't fair. This just don't make sense. It wasn't fair to Mary." But let me tell you something. They're now known as the greatest and the most honored parents that we read all through the Word of God. Everybody all right tonight? Listen, I'm trying to help you because this is not just a preacher's sermon. It's not just an outline. It's not something you make up or just a pity party. No, this is the principle in the Word of God. How about Peter? God always unsettles before He settles. Peter steps up and he said, "Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. I'll die with you." Listen, by the way, I admire him and I respect him for being that way. And there's probably not a person in here that's ever experienced the grace of God that would not say the same thing. But you know what the Lord said? He didn't say, "Thank you, Peter." He didn't say, "Everything's going to be all right." That was not it. By the way, he knew what Peter would end up being at the day of Pentecost. Amen. But even though he knew what Peter would be, he looked at him and he said, "Behold, Simon, Satan had desired to sift you as wheat." Wait a minute, Lord, I'm committing myself. I remember when I first got saved, I committed myself. I remember when I first got married, I committed myself. I remember when I answered a call to preach, I committed myself. And then I thought it was going to be easy and I was going to be walking in high cotton. And sometimes you serve the Lord and then all of a sudden the Lord looks at you and says, "Satan had desired to sift you as wheat." Lord, that don't seem to be fair. But after the cock crew, after he suffered a while, after he went back to fishing, come on now, there's some of us went back because of some pain, because of unsettling. We got out of the will of God. Y'all hear me tonight? I mean, this is it might be a Sunday night crowd, but I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of good Christians that we know that in the unsettling moments of our life, we begin to be uneasy. The day of Pentecost, he stands up and thousands get saved. Why? Because God always unsettles before He settles. I want you just to listen for a moment. Let me give you this. That word is found in verse number 9, I believe it is. He said, the word affliction is there. Verse number 9, the same afflictions. I want you to listen to what the Bible says about the word afflictions. Psalm 119, listen to this. Verse number 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after, have I kept thy word." Somebody help me tonight. Listen. There have been some times that I went astray, but after I kept the Word of God. If you go down just a few verses to verse number 71, the Bible says, "It is good for me that I might, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." In other words, I know affliction don't seem to be easy, but it's needed. Needed. Some of you might be like me. You feel good at night. You got some battles, you got some struggles, but deep down on the inside you're afflicted. There's something going on. It might be in your home, your marriage. It may be in your wife or your husband. And it's not an issue between you and them. It's an issue they're dealing with. And you're afflicted. And you're thinking, God, how can this be your will? Maybe I could take a time out and just say, it ain't just a Bible principle. It is experience. And there's probably a lot of you that I can't tell the first thing about it because you've probably seen more, known more. Some of you have been married for years. Me and my wife, we've only been married for almost, really going on about 14, 15 years this upcoming year. But I'll be honest with you, I can sit back and I can talk about the things that we have went through, that we have been afflicted, and we would never be where we are today if it was not for that. But many of you could tell story after story because you've learned that God always unsettles before He settles. I wrote this down, and I'll give you my next principle or next point. I read one time, and I forgot where I read it. The author being unknown, I would guess. That for the Christian, the greatest assurances always come after the greatest doubts. And I believe that to be true. We never understand the healing until we have the pain. We've never really been through those things. We don't know. The second thing, if you will, if you're still in the Old Testament, just go over a few pages to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 48. And I want to give you not the principle, but I want to give you a picture. I'm interested in Moab and Israel. Verse number 11, we're going to read in Jeremiah 48. You know the story most likely. The Bible says, notice these words, Moab knowing that God never could do anything with them. But why? Why was Moab so unusable? The Bible says in verse number 11, Moab hath been at ease from his youth. Isn't that the way we live today? Everybody wants the life of ease. All the marriages want a life of ease. All the ministries, all the preachers, all the called men and women to be able to go serve the Lord want a life of ease. The Bible says that from his youth and hath settled on his lees and hath not been empty. Listen to these words from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity, therefore his taste remain in him and his scent is not changed. Therefore God could not use them. What are you saying, Brother Jason? Because it's a picture that God is showing. For to be settled on the lees meant there was a sweetness that was there. There was a smell that was there. And that's when the Eastern culture, where they would make wine. And what they would do is they would take that and they would actually use it. And it would be sweet to the taste. But see, the Lord says, it may be good to you, but your life's no good to me. Why? Because Israel, he had to empty vessel to vessel. Think about Israel, what they went through, all the wilderness. The 40 years, the captivity. What was God doing? He wasn't mad at his people. What was he doing? He was emptying vessel to vessel. My wife and I have only had the privilege to be at our church as I was a pastor for 7 years. I've been saved for just about September the 28th of this year, praise the Lord, will be 16 years. I'm still a young man in the Lord, amen. You know, there's a lot of struggles when I first got saved and battles. And again, I'm not giving a pity party by no means, but the greatest battles that I have faced has been since I began to pastor. My wife and I, and I'll be transparent if I could, we started pastoring. I think my wife shared just a few moments ago in testimony that she used to live off of her daddy's faith. I'm ashamed to say this, but I have to be honest. When we first got married, listen, I just got saved. We were going to church. We were working in teams. We were picking up kids on the van. And man, I was preaching to them. I was helping my pastor. I was doing everything that we possibly knew how to do. Singing in the choir, serving, whatever the preacher needed. Man, I'd go soul winning, knock on doors. I'd go visit the hospital. I mean, anything that I'd mow this grass. Can I get an amen right there? Somebody needs to mow the preacher's grass, praise God. I would. I'd do everything. And then all of a sudden, I begin to pastor. And then blows that came in. And the devil tried to put a wedge in my marriage, and it wasn't her and I. It's because I hadn't been leading my family. We've been going to church. But see, just because you come to church don't mean you're leading your family the way you should. Amen. And I'm not saying I believe if you're leading your family the way you should, you'll be in church. But just because you come to church and you sing in the choir and you go to Sunday school don't mean you're a biblical father and a biblical husband. Not that you're active. You might be that by title, but maybe not that by function. Amen. God had to break this. You know what He had to do? Vessel to vessel. Nights, they were sleepless. I know I'm young. And we didn't know what to do. Moments where we'd have meetings and there'd be things where we would go places like this and we'd sit on view and literally I almost physically would crawl to an altar just so broken. I go to Dyson Grove. I'd pour myself out so much and trying to figure out, and here's what I was thinking. God, I'm pastoring now. I'm a father. I'm a husband. Why wouldn't you do this when I was younger? Why now? Why now when there's not when I could just unplug and just walk away? Why do it now where I can't do that? And God was teaching me for Him to use me and make our marriage what we needed to be. He had to empty us vessel to vessel. I want to tell you something tonight. That's the way the Lord works. As solid as this church is, and your pastor is, you listen to me, before God ever takes you to the next step, it's not going to be by your new ministry and your new method and your new buildings. God's going to have to let us, as God's people, go through some things. Because that's the picture of how God takes us. The third thing I want to show you is a parallel. I'm almost done. Y'all stay with me. Everybody all right? Parallel. I want you to notice in verse number 7. Go back to the New Testament with me in 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. I want you to look at verse number 7, if you will. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Immediately. Verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What's the parallel, Brother Jason? Listen, unsettled times always bring dangers. As sure as you're loved in verse number 7, you're hated in verse number 8. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Not as sure as you're celebrated in one moment, you're hated the next moment. You say, I can't believe the devil hates me so bad. He hates my family. Why? He don't hate you. He hates God. You want to know why he's coming after you and your family, your home and your ministry and your grandbabies and your children? It's because he knows that he cannot defeat God. But if he can touch you and he can get your babies and he can get your church and he can get your marriage, then he can get close to the heart of God. That's why the devil's fighting you. There's a few things that you see here. The first thing that you see here is going to be this, that you can cast all your care on Him. Why? Because just because you and I is unsettled don't mean God's unsettled. Y'all with me? Y'all help me. I'll be done in a moment. Listen to me. Just because we're unsettled don't mean God's unsettled. The second thing that I see here is not only that, but also God cares for you, but also that you better be on guard for the devil. Don't ever, no matter how good you are, no matter how long you've been in church, no matter how much you tithe and you serve, and how many Bible verses you can quote, don't you ever think that there's not a target on your back, because the Bible says to be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because he's as a roaring lion. That's what the Bible says, he's as a roaring lion. And listen to me, God unsettles you to settle you. The devil unsettles you to defeat you. The third thing that I would say in this parallel is this. After ye have suffered, what's that word? A while. You know what that means? Look up here. I know this don't help when you're hurting, confused, frustrated. Because sometimes you just can't see straight. But that word while means there's a timeline, there's a duration, there's an ending. Everybody understand that? God says after you suffered a while. When's a while? Whenever God says so. The devil ain't got no authority over him. He ain't got no control. Whenever God says enough is enough. How does that give me peace? Because it hurts, Brother Jason. Because I know as long as God's in control, everything's going to be all right. One man said it this way, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice up to him. God, I know it hurts, but I trust you. I know it's unsettling, but I trust you. I know it's overwhelming, but I trust you. I know, God, that the government, that the land, that different things, that decisions that's going on in life, that this world is changing. I understand, but God knows what he's doing. Lastly, and I'll be done, stay with me. Not only do you see the principle, the picture, the parallel, but I want to show you lastly the purpose. Notice verse number 11, if you will. The Bible says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Do you know why God unsettles us? It's because that's the only way that he can get the glory is when he does it all. Can I tell you something that my ways don't always line up with the Lord. My thoughts, my ideas, my methods, fleshly speaking, it don't always line up with the Lord. God sometimes does things different. Why? Because if everything I'd done was the right way, I would get the glory. God has to break me and unsettle me to teach me that even though it might look right from my angle, that don't make it right. So I have to submit myself. And there's a question that you and I have got to ask ourselves in closing tonight. And this is it. What do I want my life to be? Do I want my life, my ministry, my marriage, my children, do I want it to be a life of ease? Now you listen to me. This is the question we got to answer. Or do I want it to be a life that gives God glory? And you hear me well. You and I cannot open up the Word of God. We cannot read the Word of God. We cannot hear it preached or taught and not respond. One way or another, you and I will respond tonight on whether we believe that principle or not. We're going to have to make a choice. Whether you're in the battle, whether you just come out of the battle, or whether the battle's ahead of you. Because if you don't intentionally make up your mind right now, you're not accidentally going to fall into the will of God. You better learn to trust me. How many of you got a mama, or don't raise your hand, or papa, or somebody that you go to them and your heart just breaks and they just say, it's all right, honey, everything's all right. Why? Because they made their mind up a long time ago. You can trust God. And that's why you and I go and sit down in their sunroom, or we sit down on their couch or their den, because we want to hear them tell us and remind us as if God is not enough. Somebody that's made their mind up, why don't we make up our mind? Say, God, I don't want a life of ease. I want a life that gives you glory. God, I don't want my marriage to be a life of ease. I want it to be a life that gives you glory. I say this in closing. Could I have my wife come to the piano? Will you please come, honey? I say this in closing. I never forget, and I'm not pulling your strings. I want to share how your pastor crossed paths with me. About 7 years ago, maybe in the month of September, he was preaching at a Bible college, and he's preaching out of Jeremiah chapter number 12 about the footmen and the horsemen. I wasn't there for Bible college. I sat in the back. My wife and I. And he got up there, and I'll be honest, he was preaching, and he's from Bowden, Georgia. And he's preaching. He said, he's a beat devil. He's a belly crawling devil. Amen. You know, he got that voice. He's country. Man, he wept when he preached. My heart was bubbling. God was leading my wife and I in full-time ministry. She was having a hard time. He had not long before that stepped away from Pepsi, and God had done some things. And I don't know. The Lord just knew I needed Him. What He had to say. He was preaching that night, and he made a comment. He was talking about being at a camp meeting. And I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but for you preachers, you'll understand this. He said he was sitting there. And as he was sitting there, watch me. He had a piece of paper just slide on out of his Bible. He said that young preacher, never named who it was, he said he reached over and grabbed it. He said, "Boy, I got me something I can preach tonight." By the way, that's something that all of us preachers would say. Really trying to be a joke. I'll never forget what Pastor Ken said. I didn't know him. He said, I looked at that boy and he said, I told him, you don't want to pay the price I had to pay for God to teach me what's in that message. Well, my heart changed. I went home, I fell in love with your pastor. Didn't know him. But that night, he poured his heart out to me and a lot of other people that was there. And his wife sitting here, I'll be honest, he don't really know a whole lot about me. My preacher was sick, and I didn't have a big name pastor. I didn't come up under a Bible college. I'll be honest, God molded me helping my pastor. That's how I got to where I am. God just used that. And so I didn't have a lot of anything to brag on about nothing. So all that time, I'd look up the different men. I'd sit at table with men like Pastor Leonard Fletcher. You see, when people don't know your name, you'll see their true colors. Y'all understand what I'm saying by that? And I'd sit at lunch with them. And sometimes you'll respect them behind the pulpit, but you sit at lunch with them, you won't respect them anymore. Y'all with me? You understand what I'm trying to tell you? And I remember sitting there, and man, I'd look to these men, and I'd still to this day, Pastor Leonard Fletcher and other men, I'd name a bunch of them off. I just got saved, just called to preach, and I didn't know anything except help my preacher. But I watched men. One of them was your pastor. Now, I don't know what he and his wife went through. I will tell you this. His wife, I tell you, if Pastor Ken didn't do anything, man, she encourages my wife. And I mean, that does more for me than anything else. I mean, I appreciate men that invest in me, but when somebody can love my wife and love my son, man, I don't know about you, friend, but it helps me. It helps me. And I say that for this reason, for an illustration. He probably never knew what he was saying that night, but not only did he speak volumes to that young preacher that wasn't willing to pay that price, but there was another young preacher who just started pastoring. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's been hell by the acre. The past couple years have been good. It's all been good. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But I tell you, God had to unsettle me. There have been many times I never want to let my family down, let God down, but there were certain men that chose somewhere in their ministry that, God, I don't want a life of ease. I want a life that gives you glory. If he'd have never chosen, and I'm not bragging on your pastor. I hope you understand my heart. I'm just telling you. You look at any saint of God that knows how to pray, anybody that knows how to sing, whether they're on key or off key, whether they know how to preach or don't know how to preach, when they got God on them, I promise you, somewhere down their line in their testimony, they went through an unsettling season. And if we want God to use our life for His honor and His glory, we're going to have to choose a life of ease or a life for His glory. Our Father,